At Avocado, we know that not all mattresses are created equal. While other beds trap heat, ours sets it free. Made without polyurethane foams and crafted with natural latex, cotton, and wool. Breathable, comfortable, and supportive. No overheating, just clean, organic sleep that performs. Save 15% on our award-winning mattresses this July 4th sale. Avocado, celebrate organic. Shop at avocadomattress.com or leading retailers nationwide.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
If you were listening to my show over the weekend, you will have heard Roderick O'Gorman talking about the state effectively giving people tents, them then using the tents, and then we take the tents away if they gather together in large groups using the tents that we gave them. This issue of how tents are being distributed to international protection seekers and how they are then being taken away has been bubbling along over the last couple of days. And this morning, the Taoiseach, the Micheál Martin, was speaking on News Talk Breakfast and said this. Nope, sorry, we don't have the clip of Micheál Martin, so we will return to that. But what he was saying in the clip, if we can dig it back out in a while, is that the use of tents was not to be advised, that he had previous experience of seeing what happens when you distribute tents in terms of homelessness, and that in terms of public health and safety, it is a very poor idea. It is nonetheless a very poor idea that the government is putting money behind. Sarah McGuinness is with us. She's assistant news editor with the Business Post, as is Fergus Findlay, columnist for the Irish Examiner, and we'll speak to Fergus in a minute. But as we stand now, Sarah, one side of the government is criticising the other side for doing what apparently is government policy.
Yeah, this is it was a really strange kind of comment to come from Micheál Martin. Now, he has previously said that he is opposed to encampments and giving asylum seekers tents for them to just live outdoors. And, you know, we all remember the kind of scenes that have come from these types of encampments, you know, very poor sanitation, very little access to facilities. But to kind of say, I suppose, I think this is a problem, we shouldn't be giving them tents. And but like, while the government is funding organizations to provide those tents, it's kind of talking out of both sides of the mouth. And he has been pulled up on it, you know, like it was put to him that the government is funding some of these organizations. And he said, listen, I'm not saying this is perfect. I'm just saying this is what I think about it. But when you're the deputy leader of the government and you're going against your own policy, you kind of do have to make sure that you're not really just saying what you think about it. You're actually talking about what you're doing. And it's, to be honest, it was just a bit out of touch, I think. You know, I'm sure he didn't mean it in this way, but it kind of came across as if like, this has kind of been pointed out to him that this is a bit of a lack of understanding of how homelessness works. There is literally no other choice. There is no other place for these people to go. There are currently 1,780 male international protection applicants who have not received an offer of state provided accommodation. Micheál Martin is saying, wait, like, let us find somewhere that the government can put these people into tents in a safe and sanitary zone. But sure, like,
but we expressly don't have that. And according to Roderick O'Gorman, won't have it for several months.
Exactly, yeah. So he's kind of saying, oh, we should wait until we do this thing that we're actually not really going to do. And yeah, it's just, it's all over the place. And Pascal Dunhu was even asked about it later in the day. And he kind of said, well, I think the Taoiseach makes a very important point, and then proceeded not to say a hell of a lot about that really important point. So to be honest, I think the kind of coalition are just really digging themselves in holes. They're, as you said, Roderick O'Gorman kind of took a different stance on it. It's his brief. But then again, Micheál Martin is the deputy leader of the government, and Pascal Dunhu is the Minister for Public Expenditure. And if all those parties aren't cohesive in what they are going to deliver for people who keep coming here, the government stance clearly isn't working. Slashing Ukrainian benefits for those in state provided accommodation isn't working. The frank reality is these people have nowhere else to go, so they might as well come here. I think it was on Lunchtime Live that someone was telling Andrea Gilligan that they feel way safer here than they do in their home country. And that is just a reality. So I don't know. The kind of question is, what do you do with international protection applicants? You just leave them out to the elements? Are we going to do that into the winter? You know, like, someone's going to die unless something is done about this.
Fergus Finlay, let me bring you in on this point, because there seems to be a load of paradoxes in this. One is the fact that we are giving out tents and then taking the tents away from people. And the other is that we are saying, or Micheál Martin is saying, that we shouldn't be giving them out tents, safe in the knowledge that there is no alternative, that if they don't have a tent, they literally just sleep open in the elements. Is there some part of this that makes sense to you that doesn't to us?
there's no part of it that makes sense at all. And there is another issue. When your researcher rang me about the comments, I said when I heard them, I nearly threw up. I felt sick in my stomach when I heard Micheál Martin's comments this morning. And I have two reasons for that. Okay, the first reason is that I wrote a piece a year or so ago nominating Micheál Martin as the outstanding statesman of the year in Ireland because of his calm, authoritative, wise leadership through a number of crises, including Ukraine and the aftermath of COVID. And I believed that when I wrote it, and I believe it still. What he actually said this morning was that NGOs shouldn't be giving out tents.
Well, hang on for a minute, Fergus, because I referenced the clip that we had. We have that clip now of him on News Talk Breakfast. So let's just set it as context.
The short-term solution is the securing of significant state-owned site where we can facilitate proper tents with proper sanitation and basic supplies. And that is what we have been doing. But we're going to have to create more because the numbers that have come in the first 3 months at the moment is nearly double what came in the last 3 months last year.
Do we need to stop giving out tents in the city centre?
Well, I think, again, people look in respect of non-governmental organisations, they operate to their own ethos and so on. But I do think we need to engage with them in relation to the practice.
Yeah, but we're funding them.
Yeah, in relation to the practice, I think there's a fundamental problem there that we do have to address. And I think we will do that in consultation with
the organisations. So there is an issue around giving out tents in the first place.
I believe there is, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, Fergus, that's the comment that made you sick.
It is, because I'll tell you what it does. It feeds into a growing anti-NGO discourse in Ireland that has been seized on by right-wing commentators, particularly during the last two referenda, and is fuel to the far right in Ireland. You will see, if you bother to look, you will see dozens and dozens and dozens of comments supporting Micheál Martin and how awful these NGOs are. And that's incredibly dangerous. Now, I don't think he means in any way, shape or form to feed into an anti-NGO discourse. He's worked alongside NGOs for all his life. But I want to tell you this, and it'll take me just a second. I've all my public life, all my political life, I've worked alongside, as part of the NGO sector, which we call the community and voluntary sector. Right now, I work with the Rape Crisis Centre that supports women who've been damaged by sexual violence. I work with the Christine Buckley Centre, who really struggle with a tiny, tiny budget to support survivors of institutional abuse. I work with the Dolphin House Regeneration Board, fighting for a better life for a community that's been disadvantaged. I work with Lakers and Bray, providing services to people with an intellectual disability. They're all NGOs, okay? Everyone who works on the boards of those NGOs, without a single exception, does it for nothing. And there's hundreds and hundreds of people doing that. The people who work in the, not a single one of the people who work in those NGOs will die rich. Not one of them. Most of them will retire on miserable little pensions. And what they do is they provide stuff that the state fails to provide and has failed to provide through years and years of successive governments, including governments I've worked for, and that the public service can't. In Bernardo's, I worked with, our teams worked with children who've been traumatized, families that have been hurt, kids whose lives have been destroyed by bereavement, of traumatic bereavement, for years and years and years. And we felt it was our duty to advocate as loudly as we could for those kids and those families.
But Fergus, the Taoiseach's defence in his absence, will the Taoiseach...
Hang on a second. This is really important. It's really important. We spent, and most organisations spent, 2% of their budgets on advocacy. And they're increasingly being told to shut up and go away. Not by the Taoiseach. But when the Taoiseach says it's unwise to give tents to people who are otherwise going to sleep in the rain and the cold, he's making a big mistake, because he's feeding that discourse and that dialogue. And I'm sorry, but he needs to really get away from that and retract that.
But is what he is saying, now this is obviously an inference, but the inference that I would make into what he was saying is that there is something broken in the system when somebody gets guided to an NGO and that NGO's response is to hand them a tent and a sleeping bag and wish them luck. Now, the NGO may not be culpable.
That's all the NGO can do. The NGO is not culpable in that situation. If that tent is attacked, if those people gather together to try and protect themselves, That's our fault, not the NGO's fault. If there is something broken in the system, that's the Taoiseach's fault and the Minister for Finance's fault and the government's fault. And they talk all the time about the need to do more and the need to do quickly and so on. I drive fairly frequently, Anton, through the Curragh. To my left in the Curragh, there's an enormous swathe of land. And at the far end of it, there's a very, very substantial army barracks. But there's a huge amount of land that can be built on a temporary basis and protected. I think we need to ask the army to help us with this and to protect people who are Otherwise, intensely vulnerable.
Let me go to some of the queries.
Stop blaming NGOs.
Let me go to some of the queries that are coming in by text, because we're getting texts that say things like, the NGOs in the Irish Times and Independent on the weekend said the government had requested them to issue tents. So which is it? Another, it's just common sense not to be giving out tents when they are only used for a couple of days and then go to landfill and are replaced by more tents. It's ridiculous. Sarah McGuinness, assistant news editor of the Business Post. That goes to the heart of the issue, which is, as I understood what Roderick O'Gorman said, there is a net deficit of available places. Therefore, there are always going to be people who are sleeping rough, at least for the next number of months, as we struggle to keep up with the people seeking asylum. And in the case that happens now, we effectively are doing a conveyor belt of fresh tents. You get handed a tent, you sleep rough until we find somewhere for you. We take your tent, you get somewhere to go, and somebody else gets given a tent, and the cycle continues. That's where we now stand.
Yeah, in essence. And it's kind of confusing as to where it ends, because we've adopted this migration pact now from the EU, which means that per GDP, we have really strong GDP. So that might mean us taking in more asylum seekers or giving money to house those asylum seekers, which we don't seem to be capable of doing on our own shores anyway. And then there's the whole issue of the whole reception centres. When are they going to come in? What are they going to achieve? And there really is... there just seems to be this growing sense that everyone is trying to pass the buck, because nobody really knows where the root of the problem is. You know, we're in a housing crisis that lies with the Department of Housing. But then, you know, are we giving enough money to this? Are we giving too much money to this? That's finance and public expenditure. Integration, then, it seems to be completely at odds with what, you know, more senior government personnel are saying. It's a cycle, as you said, and it has to be broken, but no one knows how to break it.
Can I go to that thing of the cycle and one of the implications of it, Fergus Finlay, in that, again, talking to Roderick O'Gorman, what he said was that the reasons the Mount Street tent city and the Grand Canal tent city were dismantled were for public health reasons, because a significant number of tents had clubbed together, or people in tents had clubbed together. The logical extrapolation of that is that now the advice to asylum seekers is, for your own safety, don't gather together en masse, because your tents will be taken away. Try to make it on your own.
Well, isn't that? But that's impossible for people. Absolutely impossible. You're talking about people whose knowledge of the country is nil, whose language is limited. What the hell are they supposed to do? Beg at the street, and then we'll be attacked for that. There's two problems here, Anton. And I want to beg and plead with you. If you think the reception centres that we've built in Ireland are the right answer, go visit one. Go visit one. Go spend half a day in one and see what you think. Look, we've a housing problem which we're failing to address. I've talked to ministers again and again and again, and you know what they say to me? The money is not the problem. We've all the money in the world to build houses. Do you know who's in charge of housing in Dublin? Could you tell me who's in charge of housing in Dublin City? Could you tell me the name of the person in charge? I can tell you, Anton, there's nobody in charge. There is nobody. There was a man, and he left. I don't know why he left. He got a better job, or he got frustrated or something. He left. And the post has been filled on an acting basis ever since, with no sign of anybody taking executive responsibility for the housing crisis in Dublin. That's what the problem is. The problem is not money. It's not land. It's process, procedure, gobshitery of the highest order. This government, in relation to housing, is running around chasing its tail. They need to sit down and appoint executives and put them in charge.
Fergus, thank you. That's Fergus Finlay, columnist for the Irish Examiner, and before him, Sarah McGuinness, assistant news editor with the Business Post.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.